Good morning to you. Good morning, good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning to you.
This is WPTF Radio, Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'm Reese Edwards.
Hello, everybody. Atlantic Coast Conference Tournament basketball is on the air. This is Wally Ausley.
This is Bill Jackson speaking.
Hello, everybody. Welcome now to Sportsline. Gary Dornberg with you.
I'm Tony Rixby, WPTF News.
Hello, this is Charles Kuralt, CBS News, on WPTF in Raleigh.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Carolina Newsmakers. I'm Don Curtis.
Hello, friends. This is Bill Friday, WPTF in Raleigh.
I'm Rufus Sandbiston on the Weekend Gardener.
Now, here is your moderator, Tom Kemp.
Thanks for watching this week's NC-SPAN.
Now, here is Dave Kiver.
Hi-yo, well, that's good.
This is Art Devine.
This is Robert St. John in the NBC Newsroom in New York.
The Monitor edition of News of the World.
Debnam views the news. And now, here is Mr. Debnam.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Sam Beard
and Jim Reed
and Carl Gertz.
Thank you, Sam, and greetings to all of our listeners.
This is Harriet Presley, WPTF in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Wayne Edda is standing by now with a check of the latest news.
WPTF News presents Regional Report, a digest of late happenings throughout the area.
This is Bill Ellis.
This is Jimmy Capps.
The Nocturne we send as our best.
This is Bill Hope.
This is Warren Barfield with Kingham Scott at the organ and a program of familiar carols.
Good morning, this is Phil Franklin.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
And this is J.C. Knowles with the North Carolina Collection on WPTF.
I'm Mike Blackman, WPTF News.
Good evening, I'm David Sherrill.
This is Robert Hager, WPTF News.
This is Bob Farrington.
Good morning, everybody. Charlie Gaddy here with Ask Your Neighbor.
Mario Dill here.
Fess Parker, our guest this morning here at News Talk 680.
Well, Jack Boston, that was a great introduction.
Hey, everyone, great to have you with us. This is North Carolina's Morning News. I'm Brian Freeman on WPTF.
Hello, I'm your friend Bart Rittner.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Bob Butler Show, and this is Ned Champion reporting.
And here is Carl Venters.
WPTF is the voice that shares with its neighbors what it's like to be living the life of Raleigh.
This is Donna Mason on 680 WPTF.
And I'm Dick Stork in the WPTF Record Vault. Good morning to you.
Tom Kearney here.
Johnny Hood on the Southern Farm Network.
Well, howdy, everybody. I'm Hef Hansen.
I'm Marlon Bowling reporting.
This is Charles Osgood wishing Mike Raley and Ann Clapp congratulations on the anniversary of WPTF's Weekend Gardener program.
I'm Mike Raley, the Weekend Gardener. Welcome in, everybody.
I'm Ann Clapp.
And this is a Tar Heel Gardener saying, keep them growing.
We're back on WPTF with the Weekend Gardener. Mike Raley here. Rufus had Levy had to go to a funeral. So he'll be back with us next week. And we're going to talk to Miss Monica here in a minute. Brent is with us. Brent, are you really in Kansas City right now?
I'm sorry?
Are you in Kansas City right now?
I am.
How about that? Are you originally from Raleigh, or are you just traveling, or what?
Well, I grew up in Greensboro, and my brother lives in Raleigh, and so I visit him from time to time, go to some Carolina games. He gives me crap about that, but that's okay. But he's always said, I said, I've got a problem with, we have a place out there in Madison County that's a seasonal place for us, and I keep telling him about a problem that I have. He goes, you got to call the Weekend Garden.
I'm sorry that you mentioned the mountains. I'm sorry that our former Attorney General and Secretary of State, Rufus Edmonston, is not with us. He had to leave early to go to a funeral, but that's where he's from, is out in the mountain areas from Boone. But we have two great guests this morning, two longtime members of the team. So what was your problem out in Madison County?
Well, it's basically called Japanese silt grass.
Oh, I'm so sorry that Rufus
the devil,
is not here.
The devil, the devil.
He has great opinions about silt grass. And
most of them can't be aired over the radio.
Yeah, so stilt grass is getting ready. Is it already blooming?
It's pretty close to making those seed heads, if not already.
At least around here.
Well, I mean, it's if it's growing somewhere where there's no other vegetation, I mean, you can kill it with Roundup or glyphosate. The what you don't want it to do is get to a seed head because, you know, one or two plants make a gazillion seed and the wind blows it around and evidently, as it has shown everywhere else, it can germinate in almost any kind of condition and now you've got even more of it next year you're having to deal with.
Yeah, so...
But you're going to have to spray it to kill it. There's no getting around that, and if you wait to do it after it's made a seed head, you're going to have even more of it next year to deal with. And what's crazy about it, I mean, it seems to grow in any kind of condition. And you'll see it in sun. You'll see it in partial shade. I've seen some of it growing in some pretty, you know, not just a little bit of filtered sunlight.
Now, as I understand it, this was at one time used as packing for, you know, things that were coming from Asia.
I think that's how it originally got here.
And it, yeah.
I've heard that same explanation. But it is everywhere. Yeah. Now, I've got a neighbor three houses up from me who used to have one of the most manicured fescue lawns you've ever seen, and they've gotten... some age on them now, and the health is not as good, and they're not able to work in the yard as much, and now they've got about a 75% Japanese stilt grass lawn. And that growing out the seed heads will be four houses down in my yard before long. I'm almost inclined to go up there and help them with it, but theirs has got so bad now, when they spray and kill all the stilt grass, there's not going to be much lawn left. In fact, I would probably advise them to spray and kill it all.
Yeah, NC State says for cultural practices or mechanical practices to mow it very low and very often.
Yeah, because what happens is it actually can start growing lower and lower, and the seed, the germination or those seed heads come lower on the joints whenever, even when you mow it low. And unfortunately, it will survive or fire actually helps it out because it likes disturbed soils. And so, you know, trying to burn it off, it won't really kill it off.
Right. Yeah.
And it's an annual. And so that means every year it's coming back from seed. So new seed that's been dropped from the years before, and the seed stays around for about 7 years in the seed bank.
Now there are pre-emergent chemicals that you can also use to try to help prevent it from seeding, but the seed from germinating.
Yeah, and timing is of essence. I mean, you have to get that pre-emergent down before it germinates, because as soon as after it germinates, it's too late.
Gerald? Oh, wait a minute. Rufus is on here, too. Go ahead and put Rufus on if you can.
Yeah, and another thing on that, if you're going to use pre-emergence, you know, I'm not familiar with the mountains and the temperature. Here in the Triangle, typically President's Day, anywhere around 15th to 20th of February is when you would do your first pre-emergence application. Up there, I suspect it's going to be later than that because you're going to have colder temperatures longer, and it's going to be longer before it warms up. So I expect the germination is different, but you would probably have to contact somebody, Cooperative Extension, up in the mountains. The woman that's here.
Yeah, 55 degrees is about when it germinates. Yeah. Soil temperatures. 55 degrees is when you want to get that pre-emergent down. Usually an indicator plant we have around here is
Bradford pears blooming.
Forsythia. Yeah, Forsythia.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Brother Rufus just left, but I told him if we got him worked up or mad or something, please call us. Rufus, that's all you needed to hear was stilt grass, right?
The scourge of mankind, and my friend from Madison County, you do a lot of praying, my friend. And as Bart said, you just mow the devil out of it. There is no real cure unless pure Roundup, as Gerald said. But it grows, I want everybody to know, it grows just as fine in the mountains as it does here. Mm-hmm. It is non-discriminatory. And whoever brought that stuff over here ought to be hung.
Brent,
tell us what you really think there, Rufus.
Brent, does that help any?
Well, good gosh. I mean,
you didn't know you were going to get some information, huh?
Well, sort of. Starting the mountain on fire. I don't know. I just think we'll have to live with it, I believe, after this. But
yeah.
If you do the roundup,
yes.
How long can I have to maybe get grass seed back out there to try to grow grass again?
Well, if you're just going to spray the roundup to kill it and you're going to come back with grass seed.
2 weeks.
Yeah. Anywhere 14 days or so should be all right on that.
Okay.
So the Roundup's a contact killer. You're spraying it on the foliage. It sucks it into the root system, and that's how it kills the plant. So, yes, you should be fine on that. And if it comes a rain a couple of times right after you do it, you might could even do it 10 days.
And you can't use a pre-emergence for any other purpose.
Because it will keep any grass seed from coming
up.
Yeah,
any kind of seed. So you have to be careful with that, too.
Well, gentlemen,
I'm going to have to ask you. He mentioned about you just about have to learn to live with it, and I know that that's not pleasant. But I, along with my other with clover and other things, I've just learned. Okay, live with it.
So you can take that tack too, if you'd like, Brent.
Well, it's very insightful. I do appreciate the helpful advice.
Y'all don't have anything like this in Kansas City, do you? A show like this.
And don't bring it here either.
No, I'm talking about the show.
Oh. Yeah, don't bring it.
No, we'll take your show. Just leave the silt grass here. I don't want that.
All right. Well, I've been doing this show for 40 years, but it's been on the air for 80 years, so we've helped a lot of people, and we're glad to help someone from Kansas City, too.
Well, my brother loves you guys, and that's why he kept saying, you got to call you.
Well, please make it a point. You can listen at WPTF.com. You can listen, tune in radio, some of those other things. But you should be able to hear us. I listened earlier this spring when I was in Croatia. I listened to the show. So you should be able to listen to it in Kansas City if you want to listen to it. We're on from 8 until 11 every Saturday.
I do appreciate it. I will start doing my best.
Yeah, if you want to. And please call us again.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great day.
Thank you, Brent.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Brent out in Kansas City. His brother spurred him to call. Now we may have a regular listener out there. That's good. I like the Chiefs. Miss Monica.
Good morning.
Good morning. You okay?
I'm good. I hope you guys are.
We're all right. We caused some trouble this morning. We started talking about snakes, and I said we weren't going to bring that up anymore.
Uh-oh. Yeah. It's not usually too much of a fun subject.
No, it's not. It's not, but it was started out as a public service, but you just leave well enough alone.
They can definitely, even if they're not a poisonous one, they can scare somebody.
That's right.
Working in the garden, that's for sure.
That's right. We don't want to scare Margaret anymore. She's the one that texted me put on Facebook said don't do that anymore. So what's going on out at the farmer's market? No snakes there.
Well, I hope not. you never know what you're going to find when you're going to find it.
You got a lot of stuff out there, though.
Yes, we do, and I'm actually looking at some beautiful plants right now as I'm down outside the market, and there are those beautiful, I know we talk about them every weekend lately, but they're just gorgeous right now, those perennial hibiscus, and there's just tons of them. There's some beautiful cone flowers and some hydrangeas and the limelights and just so many other beautiful plants that are in bloom right now, and some shrubbery herbs. Still a few hanging baskets with some pretty color, and of course our fruit trees are here, houseplants, succulents, and just still a great selection. If you're looking to get out and maybe get your hands dirty a little this weekend and play in the garden, you can definitely do that and think about something you may want to plant or add to your landscape while it's in bloom. It's always neat to be able to buy it while it's in bloom so you can see the colors you're getting and
Well, what are the farmers saying about all the rain?
Well, I've heard mixed reviews. You know, overall, I think everybody sort of dodged the bullet. There's some areas, of course, just depending on where they are exactly, that had a lot more than others. Right now, I'd say the hardest thing is from just being able to get in the field to harvest, as far as just the muddy part of it. You know, I think for the most part, everybody fared okay, you know, and it's just going to be one of those things where time's going to tell over the next few days as to how everything made it through, I'll put it that way. As far as, you know, some things can take on more water and still flourish, and some things it might have done in for the season, you know. But a lot of our farmers have crops coming along, and that's part of it, depending on what stage it was at, as to how well it's probably going to survive. Because they plant crops one after the other to, you know, extend their seasons right on up till frost. So it could be something that's affected more where they were hoping to have, in, you know, in a few weeks, where it may have taken a toll on it now with all the rain. So it's always a day-to-day thing with farming. You know, not sure what you're going to have till you're out there and actually trying to harvest to see what the production's going to be.
Hey, Jessica, can I ask a quick question?
No, it's Monica.
Oh, I'm sorry. Monica, sorry about that. just a quick question. Do you see any plant sets yet? Are they starting to sell plant sets for, like, cold crops out there yet?
Cabbage or collards or anything like that?
Yeah, I have not seen any yet. Still probably a little bit too hot, but typically I'd say maybe by the end of August, first of September, we'll start seeing some, and I'll try to make sure to let you guys know once we have some coming in. But right now, I have not.
Yeah, we were talking earlier and thought it would be just a little bit too early, but just thought I'd ask while you're on the line and reporting out there from the farmer's market.
Yes, definitely. But Mike, I know I rambled on that question, but
we want all the information we can get.
Yeah, if there's anything that, you know, like tomatoes and your squash and things like that, that take corn, if anybody's out there listening and you're thinking about canning something, go ahead and come get it now while it's definitely in season and while we still have it. Because with the weather this time of year, you just never know and how quickly it could change a crop. Right now, there's still an abundance of tomatoes and peppers, cucumber, squash, all the things that you can get, sweet corn. But as we know, as the weather systems come through, even though they try to have those late crops, sometimes they may or may not be as productive. So
yeah,
it's still a good time to get all your canning and freezing done if you're looking to buy in large quantities.
Is Rufus still on the line? Rufus, you still on the line?
I want to say hello to Monica before I shut off. Hello, Monica.
I wasn't sure you were still on there.
Good morning, Rufus.
Yes, I'm sorry to miss you. You're the highlight of the show every Saturday.
That's the truth.
So anyway, I'll be by today for a Rufus dog. Maybe I'll see you somewhere.
Well, maybe so. I ran into you a few weeks ago, I think, and I just want to tell you, Mike, there was proof that he had a Rufus dog, because there may or may not have been a little bit of mustard left behind on his chin.
Well, that's kind of a modus operandi.
Okay. Well, goodbye, folks.
Bye, Rufus. Rufus is wearing a nice clean shirt going to a funeral, but... Lord help him when he gets back to the market with those hot dogs.
After he has that Rufus dog, yes. I know, I saw him, and I was like, you didn't just have a Rufus dog by chance, did you?
He tore it up.
He had a little bit of proof left there.
The Rufus signature. Yes. The signature hot dog. How about that?
Yes, definitely a wonderful thing. And speaking of the hot dogs, of course, that's up at our market grill inside our market shop. And they do wonderful breakfast sandwiches, too. If maybe you're coming out and you don't have time to go over and eat at the restaurant, you can go through and grab a sandwich from the grill. And they have, you know, breakfast and lunch there as well. And I just passed through over by the State Farmers Market restaurant a few minutes ago, and they've got a lot of folks coming in, but they usually move everyone through fairly quickly.
They do. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they do it. Well, I really don't.
Well, they've got, you may have never been in that kitchen, but I've been through there a few times, and everybody in there, they've got a system. They've got it going on back there, that's for sure. It's a busy place.
Apparently so.
Yes, and those homemade biscuits, you haven't had one, you got to come out and try it. And they do the daily lunch specials. They're open till 3 every day. And then, of course, if you're not in the mood for the country cooking, we have our seafood restaurant. And it's another great place to come out and enjoy a meal. They have the Calabash-style seafood, and they're open on Friday and Saturday, they're open till 7. Every other day, they're open till 6.
I hate to talk about those biscuits. I'm real hungry right now.
I know. And that's one thing. If you come to the market, you got to come hungry, because there's so many great things you're going to want to try while you're here.
And if you want mustard on your shirt, get you a hot dog out there.
There you go. Exactly. And they have napkins, so, you know.
Yeah.
We can always.
Right.
Tuck in a meal.
Sure to get some napkins.
It doesn't do me a lot of good either.
There you go.
Oh, well.
They have to get some bibs, too. I don't know.
I know. Well, that's exactly what I need is a bib.
There you go.
You got peaches out there? We didn't go up and down the line too much, but we got peaches, I assume.
We do. We have got peaches galore right now, and a few of the early crop apples coming in. We've got white peaches, and we've got some just your regular yellow peaches, but so we do have a few varieties of white, if that's a favorite. Come out and get those while they're here. And we mentioned tomatoes, and it's not just your regular red slicing tomatoes that they've got the heirlooms. They have all kinds of cherry tomatoes, all kinds of grape tomatoes, Roma tomatoes, and just so many different varieties. And the same thing with peppers. When you walk through, it makes the prettiest pictures when you're walking around. You just want to take pictures of everything because there's so many colors. And those peppers, they have them from the absolute sweetest to the very hottest. You can get all of those here. And eggplant, so many different varieties of those, squash, and you can also find honey that's from local beekeepers here on the market. There's fresh salsa. We have jams and jellies, preserves, baked goods, pastries, and those beautiful cut flowers. We can't forget those. We have even the new cut flower grower that's just started coming in that joined us a couple weeks ago, but we've got a great selection of cut flowers if you're looking any for a special event that may be coming up. So
we got about a minute before news, but you can hang on if you want to, Monica.
Oh, it's fine. Just invite everybody to come out and enjoy the market and shop around our market shops and the Hunt of Pork Center, Superside, a lot of great things going on. And I do want to say we had to postpone Watermelon Day this past week, but it's scheduled. We have it rescheduled for Friday, August the 23rd, I believe I'm right on that date. And then we're going to have you guys here on the 24th. So that's a big week coming up in a couple weeks. So go ahead and mark your calendars for that.
All right, 24th. We'll be there.
We're going to have you all here, I think is what we've got nailed down. And we're looking forward to that, as we always do.
Well, yes, ma'am. It's hard for you to get anything done out there, I'm sure, especially with dealing with us. Hold on a second, Monica. We'll be back.
Okay.
Larry, too, there. He's going to be with us. Okay, we're back. Golly, it's like a whirlwind. This show's been so quick. Now, Miss Monica, you were delayed getting on because you had an air conditioning problem out there at the farmer's market. Did you get that fixed?
For the moment, yes.
Okay.
For the moment.
Did you have to fix it yourself?
Well, no. We had the repairman out.
Okay.
Hoping that it's going to do like it should.
That's right. Well, you got a lot. You got a lot to deal with out there, and we're so glad to have you. I don't know where we need to pick up, but I think we were down with the vegetables and the fruits. But you take it up wherever you want to.
I was talking about that we had to delay our
Watermelon Day
this week due to the storm. We were supposed to have that this past, yesterday. But we have postponed that, and we're looking forward to having that in a couple weeks on Friday, August the 23rd. And so I hope everybody can go ahead and mark their calendars and make plans to come out for that. We'll have free watermelon slices. The Watermelon Queen will be here, and we'll do that large watermelon weigh-in where some of the giant watermelon growers will be coming out with those huge watermelons. And that's always a fun time to see that weigh-in and see who comes out on top this year. And just lots of fun that day celebrating North Carolina watermelons. And so come out and celebrate that with us. And then we're going to have you guys here on the 24th with your live remote with the show. And so we look forward to that as well. And next Saturday, we'll actually have the Gourd Society. The local Gourd Society is going to be here doing their Gourd Days.
Oh,
so they'll
wow.
be featuring actually gourds just in their raw state. But then they're also going to have some different gourd crafts and lots of information about growing gourds. And how to get involved with their association. And so make plans to come out next Saturday for that. They'll be down, set up around our farmers area. And in addition to all of our other wonderful vendors, and every weekend throughout the summer, we've been doing our Taste of Summer pop-up down where we've had available space. You may find some crafts. We have some folks doing their own soaps, some baked goods, handmade baskets, and just so many other great things. You never know what you may see with some of our vendors that are coming in that are making their own crafts and different specialty foods. So it's always a great time. And when you come, you've always got to stroll through the whole place because you never know what you might stumble upon.
I know. And you don't want to stumble always.
Don't stumble, but, you know. Please don't stumble. But
I know. We don't want to stumble out there. You might
play on. That's right. Play on words there. You just might hamper.
Might stumble over Rufus eating a hot dog or something.
You
like
might.
That.
You might.
You never know what you're going to see.
That's right. That's right. So, but we do have a lot of great things out throughout the market. So make sure to stroll through the whole place and up around our market depot, craft shed area, which is just to the right of the seafood restaurant. We have the gourmet lemonade. We have the kettle corns, which they're actually on a little hiatus. They're on vacation. They're actually closed for a few days. So you may not get the kettle corn, but you can get the gourmet lemonade, the donuts. You can get the some of the homemade baskets if you're looking at a special gift for someone. And some of those baskets they have with everyone having the kids moving back into their dorms and that sort of thing. There's some of those baskets they have designed just for dorm rooms and various different things that are really neat to use for organizations. So that might be something neat. And they could custom make those with different colors or some wood burnings on them. You might could put a different, you know, maybe if they're going to NC State or something, they might could do something geared towards that. So always so many neat things here at the market. And, of course, behind there you'll find the Hunt of Pork Center that has all the pork products that you can imagine. And we do have a lot of other meat vendors that are throughout the market as well, with beef and chicken, and we have dairy products with your butter and your fresh milk. So many wonderful things that are coming through the market on a daily basis. And it's always good to come out and support our farmers and all their hard work.
Certainly is. Well, it's always fun visiting with you, Miss Monica, and I hope the air conditioning stays working there. No. Okay, keeps
maybe
working.
Maybe so. It is right this second, so time will tell.
All right. Well, you have a wonderful weekend. What's left of it?
Yes, and you too. And if you need anything at all, you guys just let us know. And I hope everybody gets to come out. We're here 7 days a week.
Yes, ma'am. You have a nice day. Bye.
You too.
All right. Larry is with us in Raleigh. Hey, Larry.
Hey, good to speak with you. Listen, I was listening to you talk to Brent from Kansas City.
Yeah.
About his invasive grass problem, and I've got something a little different. I'm sure you're familiar with it. I have a Bermuda lawn, and I've got Dallas grass. And it came up. I contacted my lawn care folks, and they said, oh, yeah. I sent them a picture of it. They said, yeah, that's Dallas grass, and isn't much we can do for you. You got to get down on your hands and knees and pick it. I said, I'm in my 70s. I said, by the time I die, this stuff will still be spread down here. So it's almost like you can watch it spread. So I was wondering what advice you have for trying to eradicate and control Dallas grass.
Gerald or Mark?
Well, there's a couple things you can do. There's these applicators that you can use. They're called a wipe applicator. Just a little bit of glyphosate on a sponge from concentrate that's been into a ready-to-use solution, and you just dip a paintbrush in it and just wipe it a little bit, and you're applying it only directly to the Dallas grass itself. It will kill that plant, and you'll be good to go. There's also tools that you can get where you don't even have to get down on your hands and knees that will take a core out. So you can basically cut it out. And I've purchased one of these tools, and I use it at the office quite regularly. It'll pull out these big old taproots and everything else from all kinds of different plants without even having to get on my knees. And I just it's got a little tapper at the top, a bar that you just press, and it pushes that weed plug out.
Okay. Well, this stuff is pretty spread pretty far and wide, and some are in big clumps and some are in little clumps, and I'll look at that. Now, the first one you talked about with the sponge, is that basically Roundup on a sponge or a brush?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. Wear gloves, neoprene gloves, and then just mix a concentrated solution and to a ready to use solution, and then just get one of those paintbrushes, and just it's real easy to do.
Okay. I'll give it a shot. Thank you very much.
Larry, are you in broadcasting?
I was. I used to be a newscaster in Lexington, Kentucky.
I thought so. You have a beautiful voice.
Well,
enunciating everything. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Appreciate you calling. How about that?
That's amazing how you can
have real life broadcasters and everything that they're listening to this show. Well, let's see. The OxyClean stuff. Lady was asking about that.
Yeah, someone had called back in about the seed saving method for tomatoes. If you'll go to email me at GeraldAndHenry'sPlants@gmail.com. That's A-N-D, Gerald and Henry's with a S, plants with a S @gmail.com. I got a little thing. I can shoot you a little Word document.
Does Henry answer questions now, or
he talks all the time, and sometimes he answers questions. You know, he started kindergarten. He just finished his second week.
Oh, he's starting early
of kindergarten now, and so far that's going well.
All right. No fights or anything?
No, so far so good.
And call for mama?
No. So far so good.
You're set then.
I pick him up most every day from it, so he's
nice being retired.
Rip snorting and ready to go.
How about that? Well, that's wonderful. Okay, and the Olympia, that's what we determined. I went back and listened to the last minute of the Weekend
Olympian
Gardener.
Olympian fig is what
it's what's behind over
roast
there
grill.
Roast grill, yeah, that was brought over from Greece, and it survived in a protected area.
Yep,
would that work? And I know you can buy them. You can buy them online, the plants.
Yeah, and it may be that particular variety is a little more cold hardy. I know when I looked one time at doing some different fig trees and some, you know, like when you grow to Greece and you see those fig trees everywhere, and a lot of the varieties they grow are not nearly as cold hardy as Celeste and Brown Turkey. In fact, they don't like it below 26, 28 degrees, and even though we've had some milder winters here lately, in all likelihood are going to get colder than that even here in Wake County.
Yeah.
So I didn't try some of them when I saw that.
One of our favorites on the show, a great gardener and an author, Rose Rhodes. Hey, Rose. I'm sorry Rufus isn't here, but he's at a funeral.
Yeah, I've got something for him.
Oh,
a camellia that he a grand slam.
Oh, you've got you. So you have grown it.
Yeah, I air layered it, and it didn't have many roots, so I potted it up anyway, and it looks like it's growing.
Is there a good place to eat lunch in Princeton, or late lunch?
Well, they do have a new restaurant out there that I've been to.
Well, I think what we're going to have to do, if you could, before you leave, give, I don't know that I have your phone number or anything. Leave your phone number with Jason after we finish talking, and Rufus and I'll have to work up a road trip sometime.
That's good. I'll give you a hobo dinner if you come.
No, we're going to take you out to eat.
Oh, well.
If you want to. You don't have to.
So I got
to
ask,
you can throw the plant
dinner
at us and send us on our way.
What is a hobo dinner?
Well, that's a hamburger patty. An onion, a big onion slice, some sliced up potatoes, and a tomato on top. And that's in tin foil, and you bake it about an hour.
Well, that sounds good.
That does sound good.
Yeah, I'd go there.
You think you'd take the hobo dinner?
I think I'd take the hobo dinner.
And see, it's not touched by human hands, except it'll be, it'll be 350 degrees, so it'll not be any germs.
Well, that sounds
good. All right. Well, we'll have to do something there. Make that a road trip here in the coming weeks.
Thank you.
So that what's the name of the camellia again?
Grand Slam.
Grand Slam.
Mm-hmm.
Gerald, you familiar with Grand Slam?
I'm not familiar with Grand Slam.
It's got a big red.
It's a perfect red. It doesn't have any blue in it.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
So I air layered one for Rufus.
Well, he'll be thrilled.
Tell him it's not so great, but it'll be great one day.
Well, I'm sure it will. Gosh. So what else is keeping you busy?
Well, what is it? I'm trying to collect some seed now from my Japanese Japanese iris, because they've turned tan now, and I like to give those to people when they germinate.
So that's kind of iris country out there, Princeton, so you're just keeping it going, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Miss Powell was my mentor.
Right.
That was a wonderful woman.
Yeah, and they have paved over her house and everything, haven't they?
At a car lot.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, well.
I wish they'd have given those plants to the Arboretum or something. They were wonderful.
Oh, I know. I know. Or to the Extension Service or somebody. My goodness. Oh, well. That's, I can say, oh, well, so many times with that. But she was a queen of the iris.
That's exactly right.
And so many people know her and have bought from her. And
yeah, I mentioned her in my book because I love
that's
her.
Right. Yeah.
But anyway, if you want something beautiful, get an abelia. Not that little one like my grandmother had, but the regular big size. And you'll have wonderful butterflies.
Abelias.
Abelia, fragrant abelia.
There are some kind of fancy looking ones now.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, there's some that have
smaller ones.
Yeah, bright yellow foliage on them.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah, I can't. And they have kind of they're bright yellow with kind of pinky red on the edge.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I forget
the name.
Wonder
where you could find that.
That they are fairly common, aren't they, Gerald?
There's right many. Of course, the kaleidoscope abelia has a lot of orange coming to the leaves in the fall.
Yeah,
it's kind of
maybe that's what I'm thinking.
It's a mid-sized one, and it'll have a lot of different color. And there are even some little smaller ones now that are. Variegated kind of green and white or green and a pale yellow or cream color to them that stay kind of small, don't get much more than 2.5 foot tall.
Yeah, my grandmother had some about that size too at the end of her walkway that I always remembered.
And then there's some other ones that get, some of the old ones get pretty big.
Yeah. So Rose's book is Plant Propagation, a Primer, Rose Rhodes. And so it's a great book if you like to start from scratch.
That's right.
That's the way to do it, just like she did. And she do you talk about and air layering is another thing that you do.
Right, and stooling, that's it. That's a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That'll keep you busy.
Right.
And good luck with your Japanese iris.
Thank you so much. I'm sure they'll germinate.
And call us a little more often, Rose.
Well,
and,
thank you. I'll try to do that.
And you hang on, and
my own little self.
Hang on and let Jason get your phone number so I can get in touch with you when Rufus and I head toward Princeton.
Down east,
yeah.
Near Princeton.
Yes, ma'am. All right. Well, thank you for calling, Rose, and hold on.
Thank you for being there.
Yes, ma'am. Appreciate it. Nice lady. She's a nice book. Do you have a copy of the book?
I do not.
Okay. I need to get you a copy of that because it's really interesting. It's
I have a little bit more time now where I might can root some things.
That's kind of the way the cover, the way the cover looks.
She just used a comment that I am not familiar with. It's called stooling.
Do you know anything about that?
No.
I just let that go on by.
Wow, what is that? And I started looking, and it said stooling is also known as mound layering.
Yeah.
And it says method of asexual plant propagation that involves cutting back the plant to the ground during its dormant season and mounding soil or other material around the base of the new developing shoots.
We have such smart people that listen to this show. I was like,
what is that?
Some of this stuff is way beyond me. I just can't, even after 40 years of doing this show, I can't comprehend some of it.
My grandmother would pull a limb to the side and lay a big rock
on top of it.
Dump some leaf mulch
over
that, and that was,
Got you a plant before long.
Yeah.
So I'll have to tell Rufus that he has his new chameleon. Well, we got to go down, find a place to eat, and even
get
if we don't
eat, meal.
Eat, get a hobo meal, or I think we ought to take Miss Rose out to eat somewhere in the big city of Princeton. So, Gerald or Mart, anything to leave us with? What should we be doing right now?
Well, I would like to give a shout out to
Billy Blackwood.
Billy Blackwood, who's an avid listener to the Weekend Gardener, and I'm sure he's out there in Hillsboro, and he always enjoys hearing the Weekend Gardener, and he says, I hadn't heard you in the last couple weeks.
So we all are busy. It's nice having you guys on. And Gerald, even though he's retired, he's really not retired. So it's good to have you on. Gerald, what would you be doing, or what would you recommend doing right now for folks?
If you've got fescue, start thinking about your lawn, and you really need to get that soil test now, because if you need the lime, it takes that lime a little while to work, so you need to get that on in the soil before you go to aerating and seeding.
Yeah. You mentioned the OxyClean, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, just go to my—
Jason, you just didn't hear him.
Yeah, just email me at Gerald and Henry's Plants.
Get the Henry in there.
With an S on the end. Hit Gerald and Henry's Plants at gmail.com, and I got a little Word document I can send you that explains all about my tomato.
Yeah, don't take a bath in it, though.
No.
It's a little harsh.
But what's so surprising is that it only takes an hour.
That's
soaking.
Right. One hour soaking, it eats it off. You don't have all that. When you let it ferment, rotten tomato times 10.
We're not talking about liquor, we're talking about seeds.
It stinks to high heaven now. And if you got 7 or 8 cups you're doing like that, you can't hardly stand to be around it. So that's what interested me about it, plus the fact how quick that it does it. And I've been doing that way for 17 years now, and I get great germination. In fact, I'm saving what I'm going to do this afternoon. I'm going to save some more seed.
We got crazy weather now, but can we be thinking about putting out pre-emergence in August for anything?
I think you're probably a hair early in August. I'm thinking you're going to probably be more. That's going to be a September issue here. A little too high.
And that's the time that we start seeding fescue lawn, so you're going to have to do one or the other.
One or the other, certainly not both.
Yeah. So, which is tough. There's got to be Somebody's got to come up with
yeah, it's always difficult if you've got fescue doing any kind of pre-emergence because you usually overseed and you'll have to wait the spring to try to get the summer weeds.
And you don't usually have to worry about that if you have a healthy, warm season grass.
Correct. It chokes most of them out.
Chokes it right out. Do you nothing we need to be doing to the warm season grass is really – I mean, can you put out sod now if you want to?
Oh, yeah, you definitely could put sod out now. Any of the warm season, you got enough time to get it rooted. I mean, with the high nighttime temperatures we're having now, I mean, you could put out a piece of sod in 10, 14 days. I doubt you could pull it back up, probably be rerooted.
Yeah, and get walk around your yard, pick up some sticks, and –
watch out for what we're not talking about anymore.
Light and look around your trees and see if any of them have been affected by the storm. You might need to get the
could yeah, have a hanger.
Tree man come
yeah,
out.
Yeah, pruners. Get your pruners out.
And yeah,
loppers.
Do a little of that. I wouldn't do any general pruning right now, especially on the gardenias or something like that, or the camellias. You don't want to cut the flowers off.
But I'm talking. We're talking
dead damage. Stuff. Yeah, yeah, damage.
Damage stuff. Damage. From the storm.
And Mart, please send a check to the Extension Service in Orange County for that beautiful garden you have.
Yeah, well,
there.
We would really appreciate any help that people are willing to give us and to help us upkeep the gardens and to educate.
And that's what it's for. It's for education.
That's exactly right. Yeah,
to educate the master gardeners and the public.
That's right. And again, our new master gardener class are going to have a new project to be working on this fall.
Well, God love you. Yeah. Thank you so much, both of you, for hanging in there with us all these years as we approach our 40th anniversary for this show in January, and it's just really creeping up fast. Jason, thank you very much, buddy, and thanks to all of our listeners. We'll see you next week here on the WPTF Weekend Gardener. Mm-hmm.